You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good morning, church. Great joy to see you again. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. This morning we'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. Although we only are looking at verse 1. Paul's humble introduction. That's what we're looking at. Paul's humble introduction. We need to learn a few things from this verse, verse number 1, as believers even this morning. And I will read then from the ESV. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descendant of David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in the power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, and amen. May the good Lord write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Paul's introduction, a humble introduction. When you start looking at a letter, the norm, which is actually right, is to look at the background. What was the situation when Paul was writing this letter? What was the church facing? What were the challenges? Or what was the motivation that was needed? Then you look also, where was this Paul when he was writing this letter? I could have done that. But I think, God willingly, I'll keep dropping a few of those things as we move further down the line in different weeks, Lord willingly. So today, I'm not going to give you the background and that. I just want us to look at verse number 1 and move on from there. Paul's humble introduction to the church of Rome. Have you realized how rude it is when a person just comes in and he speaks? No greeting, no introduction of himself. Just get into the point. You answer your phone, you say, hello. Then somebody says, yes, I would like 1, 2, 3. That somebody doesn't say, hello, my name is Rasipe Selo, or my name is Kenai. That is rude. And indeed, you might think then that the Apostle Paul is introducing himself, as you see in verse number 1, so that he avoids being rude. Probably, but that is not the case. The Apostle Paul, when he's introducing himself here, he's actually bringing a personal testimony of his ministry and faith. What we see in verse 1 is a personal testimony of Paul's ministry and his faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have to have a personal testimony of our ministries that we do for the Lord and of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, before he could introduce the subject matter that he wants to deal with, which is actually from verse 2 to verse 7, before he can introduce the person that he wants to deal and talk about, before he can assure the church of the love that is poured upon them by the Lord Jesus Christ, he therefore introduces himself and he gives the church his mandate that he has been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, Paul writes to a church that that he has not seen. He has never met these people before. So it is important to him that common faith and a united Christian doctrine is known and introduced to all the churches. The churches need to have common faith. The churches need to have a united doctrine. That is what the apostles were all about. We will see that shortly. So he writes this letter with an aim to reveal to the church that only the gospel reveals God's intention. Only the gospel leads to God and a life of righteousness. It is neither tradition nor ethnicity, but the gospel. The tradition and your nationality, especially those who belong to the tribe of Judah or to be Jews, they mustn't think that it is because of that that leads them to God. But the gospel leads to God. And I think that is important. The gospel leads to God. The gospel reveals who God is. Indeed, the creation, as we look around and the things that God has made, how powerful, majestic, but those things does not fully reveal God. Those things will not turn our hearts towards God. Those things will never make us love God. Those things will never bring us together to be a body of Christ. We can appreciate, we can go and look at the wonders of the world, all the things that God has created. But Paul is about to reveal that only the gospel reveals God fully to men. Paul wants the church to glory in the truth that only by grace, through faith alone, it is the grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, will men, women, children, any person be saved. To the glory of God alone, revealed through Scripture alone. Scripture being the final authority of all things and the practice of faith and Christian character. Only by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, shall a man be saved. Paul goes on to mention that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He also drops a powerful warning after saying those things, that in this life a Christian continues to battle sin. We have seen that as we were reading this morning, Romans chapter number 7. We still have to battle sin in this present age of sin. Paul goes on to give us a helpful understanding of the future and God's intention of saving people. Paul tells us that God never intended to save any Israelites by birth. Not any, let me put it this way. God never intended to save all Israelites by birth, but only those who will believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is essential for men, regardless Jew or Gentile, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that they may be saved. Church, these days, there is a great confusion and misunderstanding of some basic biblical principles and teachings. These days, it is very rare to find someone who understands what it is to be a servant of God, what it is to be called an apostle, and what it is to be set apart for the gospel. So we need to look at Scripture and have Scripture informing us of these things, so that we may not fall into the error of our days, the ongoing chaos and confusion of our time, so that we may be more helpful in the house of God. So we are going to look at Paul's introduction here in verse number 1, under three divisions for our edification this morning. We're going to look at Paul, a servant of Christ, number 1. We're going to look at Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we see that on the slides? So that the church can remember. People will remember well when they visualize things. Thank you, young man. First, Paul, a servant of Christ. Secondly, Paul called to be an apostle. Thirdly, Paul set apart for the gospel. So first, let us look at Paul, a servant of Christ.
Romans chapter number 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ, there it is written, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel. The question we should need answered is this, church. What does it mean to be a servant of Christ? What did it mean for Paul to be the servant of Christ? What does it mean for the church today, individually and together, corporately, to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is helpful today, church, to see this complete identification of the Apostle Paul calling himself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important, church, for people to know who you are in this Christian faith. It is important on how people identify you as a Christian. And I think it is more pleasing to God to have such a confession, because you confess to serve Christ, and in confessing that you serve Christ, you are confessing that you are not serving someone else. In so doing, you deny serving the world. Why would you deny to serve the world? Serving the world has no eternal blessing. Only serving Jesus has eternal blessing. Serving the world brings no real joy. It can be joy that is temporal. It can be happiness that does not last. Only serving God through the Lord Jesus Christ brings real joy. Serving the world makes you an enemy of God. And above all, it is even more worse when you try to serve God and serve the world at the same time. When you try to have one foot in the church and another foot in the world. Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 24, warning us of serving two masters. No one can serve two masters. No one can have his foot on the church and one foot in the world. For either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and the world. Serving Christ Jesus is what separates you from ordinary people of the world. As they go on, they are pleased with the things that they do. You should be pleased by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, indeed, people may be flourishing out there and doing the things that they love, and they are flourishing, serving the world. But the question is, or what matters most is, are you flourishing, serving God? Because when it is all being said and done, it doesn't matter how much you had, it doesn't matter how much of the world you possessed, did you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to Joshua. Joshua here, after realizing that the people of God that he was leading, they had one foot in the church and one foot in the street, as it were. He says in Joshua chapter number 24, verse 14 to 15, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." If it is evil in your eyes to be called a servant of God, or a person who served the Lord Jesus Christ, who submit to him, choose this day who you will serve. In other words, do not be found on both places. Be in one place. So choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. These are the words that we all need to say. These are the words that we all need to drive to. Doesn't mean we will be perfect people serving God perfectly. But it should be our desire to say, me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So Paul has chosen well to serve the Lord, or to call himself a servant of God. Paul has chosen well. He's not ashamed or afraid to say Christ is his savior, and Christ is the one whom he saved. He's not ashamed of the gospel. Of course, it is easy today, church, to use these words, I'm saving Christ, or he's a servant of God. It is easy. But when we say someone should be a servant of God, we look at what Paul meant when he said, I am a servant of Christ Jesus. Paul could back up this claim with works of faith. There has to be works of faith that the Bible qualifies, that the Bible said it is so. There should be works of faith that identifies you, that you identified with before you can say, I am a servant serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul could back up this claim. Paul knows that Jesus expects from us, he expects that we have something to show, we have something of an evidence that comes for people to see that indeed we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul knew that Jesus expects us to be co-workers with him in our salvation. Indeed, God, through Jesus, saves us by himself. There is nothing we can do, nothing we can add. But after God has saved us, he expects us to be co-workers with him in our salvation. He expects us to do something. There must be works of faith that must be seen, that we may be true servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he expect us to be co-workers with him in our own salvation, but also to be co-workers with him in the salvation of others. He's expecting us to influence others that they may come unto this faith. He's expecting us to stand by the streets. He's expecting us to go from house to house, expecting us to prove in our conduct wherever we are that indeed we are called by his name because we serve him. He says in Ephesians chapter number 2 verse 10, listen to the Apostle Paul. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works. There it is. Where is workmanship? It is God who works in us both to will and to do in accordance to his will. We are God's work. But as God is working in us, he expects us to produce good works. So we are created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So these good works that God prepared beforehand, it is works that we should walk in them. It is something that the world should identify us with, the works of faith. So the word servants, what did it mean when Paul says, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? It meant to be a slave. But the word slave carries also a negative in it. Today when we talk about slaves, we're talking about people coming from their own countries and taking other people from their country by force, pushing them into hard labor, treating them worse than animals. But back in the day when they spoke about slave, it is actually a bound servant, a servant who's dedicated to a master. That servant will have one master. That servant is not free from that master unless the master free the servant. So Paul says, I am a bound servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. This speaks of someone who set aside all his rights that he has, but also he set apart all the things that he could perform for himself and devote his life and devote his time to what the master desire from him. This is someone who voluntarily died daily on sin. When we say you are the slave or the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you voluntarily die on daily basis to sin and flesh desires. You daily desire Jesus. You allow Jesus on daily basis. You allow his life to run through you as it were. That is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I think, and I was thinking of this saying,
To be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is to allow Jesus' life to run through me each and every day, is to be a bound servant of Jesus. It made me question myself, actually. Really? Am I fully a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can question yourself if that qualifies. Am I truly devoted 100% to serve Jesus? Well, I questioned myself. Listen to Galatians 2 verse number 10. Listen to what Paul means when he says, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Stop there. It is no longer I who lives. Someone else lives now. Someone else has taken over my life. Someone else is guiding. Someone else is pulling me, as it were, to a direction that he pleases. And I just follow. Alright, let's read. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Did you hear that? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This speaks of someone who desires to honor and glorify the one who snatched him from the garbage of sin, the one who snatched him from the pit of hell. You live in order to honor this person. You live in order to glorify this person who has given you freedom from sin. So to be a servant of Christ does not speak of church leadership like we hear these days. When a pastor walks by, servant of God. That is true. But it does not stop there. To be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ does not speak of church leadership position in the church. But all Christians should be servants of Christ. All Christians should be devoted in obeying and living according to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Christians should die to themselves on a daily basis. All Christians should have the same mind, the mind that Christ had, and he chose, and he willingly chose to be God's servants. You must be willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be selfless. We must desire to please Jesus. And that is what Paul is saying here. He's selfless. He desires only to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here has no sense of self-importance. When you are a servant of God, we have no sense of self-importance. When you are a servant of God, you don't go around seeking compensation, people to applaud you, people to sing you praises that you are the servant of God. But you look unto the cross. You lift up your eyes unto Jesus. And he alone will eventually bless you with eternal life. So Paul is not seeking for praises, but he served Jesus for future glory. Paul knows that one day when he served this Lord Jesus Christ faithfully, he will hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." That's the words we all want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and faithful Christian. Because we just want to be Christians. We need to move from being Christians, although it's the same thing. But because now we've got terms and divisions of terms, we must move then from being Christian to be servants of God. So that it is said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Look at these words. Faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. Not faithful Christian, enter into the joy of your Savior. And it's actually that. But there's a point here. A Christian needs to be a servant. A Christian needs to serve in the local church. The Christian needs to serve in a community, wherever he is, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus being his master, Jesus being his Lord. A servant has a master. That's why we read from Matthew chapter number 6. And that is the master we need to please. Therefore, church,
when you are a servant of Christ, you have a testimony. You have a testimony of your commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a testimony of your obedience and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what Paul is bringing before us. Listen to Paul's testimony of his commitment and how he is actually a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23 to 28. Are they servants of Christ? He's asking if the other apostles are servants of Christ, which is actually not questioning it, but he's making a point here. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far great labors. That is what is expected from a servant. With far great labors, far more imprisonment, although we are not imprisoned today for the gospel, but far more irritating the world with the gospel that it should actually call for imprisonment. So he says, with far more imprisonment, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. At night and at day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and in hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and explosion, and apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. He is here bringing what his testimony is of being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the most when he says, with far more labors. With but far more works that can be seen by others. You can ask yourself a question. How much of my work can I boast about? In a healthy way of boasting. How much do I do for God in the context of the local church? How much do I do for God in my own life? That can be a testimony that people will talk about even when I'm gone and I'm out of this world and the Lord has taken me home. Is there anyone who can stand before the church and says, we know that lady, we know that man. He labored for Christ. He was a servant of God in the local church. Before you are known to be the servant of God wherever, are you serving in the local church? To be a servant of Christ is to serve Christ in the church. So it is a deliberate choice to labor and suffer for Christ. It is not to be a celebrity. Today, we have lots of Christian celebrities. We have lots of Christian and they were pastors and they are celebrities just because they want to be known as servants of God. It is not about being a celebrity. It is about serving Christ and the church. It is to be more in the church than elsewhere. Are we devoting? Are we planning? Are we doing something to make sure that we are more in the church than somewhere else? Or the church, or being in the church, is of secondary importance. I have to plan something else. If I have time, I'll go to church. Okay, let's move. I almost spoke about the pastors who doesn't spend time in their churches. They run around everywhere preaching in Christian conferences and they're not in their churches thinking they're serving God. Okay, I know some, when they're preaching in those conferences, they still preach in their church. But there are people today who rather spend 2 months away from their churches. That is not being a servant. There are Christians today who can spend 2 months at home, busy, I don't know with what. They're not within the context of the local church serving Jesus. This is a call to believers to stop being preoccupied with the things of the world, but to be occupied with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in their own hearts. Thinking of the Apostle Paul, knowing how much he has gone through, as we read here in 2 Corinthians. Refusing to be preoccupied with the things of this world, but to be occupied with the things of Christ. This is a call to all believers to be obedient to their call, the Christian call, to take ministry very serious, to stand up and ask questions in the house of the Lord. What can I do to serve Christ in this local church? We need Christians to stand up and ask. I know it looks like everything is under control, but what can I do to serve Jesus? I'm anxious. There's something in me. I want to serve. What can I do? I want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing is that to be a servant of Christ is obedient. To be obedient to Jesus. Paul was obedient to Jesus. Paul listened to Jesus. Paul went wherever Jesus says go. Paul did whatever Jesus says he must do. It is a matter of obedience. To you, then, obedience should not be optional. That is why to serve in the church is not optional. To preach the gospel behind the pulpit for me and the elders of the church is not optional. It is something that God has given to us. It is a mandate. It is something that we must do. Serving is not a matter of options. Paul says, I am a servant of Jesus. I don't have options. When I wake up in the morning, my mind is captured. I want to serve Jesus. Therefore, church, for us to be servants of God in a godly way, we must consider Paul's attitude toward being a servant of God. As we look at Paul, we begin to see that we must always check our motives. It is easy to have wrong motives, but we claim we want to serve God. We should never be engaged in any kind of service in the local church or anywhere in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, while actually we are serving our own purposes and goals. Paul is not serving his for his own purpose and his own goal. Paul wants to achieve something, but he doesn't want to achieve something for himself. He wants to achieve something for God. When we serve God, we want to achieve something for God. We should never be engaged in all kinds of services while all that we desire is that people may accept us, or that we must feel important and significant, or that we must have control over others, but that God may have joy in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
We must serve God, and we must learn from the Apostle Paul. There's more that I would say, but I think I've taken more time with examples. Let's look at the second point. Paul called to be an apostle. That's very important for us to understand. Actually, talking about this apostleship, it's a conference on its own. So don't think and expect that I will say things that will cover the whole subject of being an apostle. But I just want to point out a few things that are important for us to understand what it meant when it says Paul called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 again. Romans 1 verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Please notice. I want you to notice. Paul did not choose to be an apostle. That's very important. And in the background, we know that nobody chooses to be a Christian. Although you think you choose to be a Christian, but actually you don't choose to be a Christian. Paul here says he is called to be an apostle. He did not choose himself to be an apostle. He did not appoint himself to be an apostle. I'm saying this because I have a friend, a colleague, who is now an apostle. He appointed himself to be an apostle. He went and got his friends, Bishop something and Doctor something something. They came and anointed him to be an apostle. Just imagine, you have a bishop and a doctor appointing you to be an apostle. That is what we are facing today. So we are trying to open our own eyes into error, that we may not fall into error, that we may not end up praising people instead of praising God for the scriptures. So Paul is not appointing himself. Paul is not calling himself into the office. Paul is called to be an apostle. There is so much confusion today and a misuse of the word apostle. Today, to be an apostle can mean to be theological chaotic, and also you must confuse people because you are morally dysfunctional yourself. But you are an apostle. Actually, one of the things that I've realized today with the apostles, that there's so much disrespect of biblical teachings, disrespect of the Bible. That's the thing that we need to be aware of, so that we know who do we follow. Are we following people, or are we following the Lord Jesus Christ? People do not even know what the name apostle carried before, the weight that the name had. The name of the apostles, why did Jesus appoint this man to be apostle? People do not even ask themselves, why men like Titus and Timothy, why men like John Mark will follow the apostle Paul, walk with him, work with him, will follow Peter, walk side by side with the apostle Peter, but they did not dare call themselves apostles. We don't even ask ourselves those things, because we allow men to tell us what they want to tell us. To be an apostle carried a dead tag upon it. You were like an enemy of the state when you were called an apostle, because you were claiming that you constantly receive revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are claiming that you speak direct to Jesus, and you carry a message that comes from Jesus, and you are sending the very same message to the church without changing it. You are claiming, when you say you're an apostle, it was a claim that we have seen physically the risen Jesus Christ. You speak with him. He speaks with you. You get words from him. You send the word to the church. We have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. It carries so much weight. You are telling the world that Jesus indeed died and he rose from the dead. That is why this office was more important at the time, that there may be witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That people will go out and say, indeed, we saw him. He's alive. He's alive. He rose from the dead, ascended unto heaven, and is coming back again. The word apostle meant to be a messenger, to be the sent one of God. So Paul is saying he's a messenger from Jesus, sent to the church to speak words to the church, words that will come directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He has seen this resurrected Jesus Christ. He has spoken to Jesus, and Jesus has commissioned him to speak to the church. Paul is called by Jesus. If you read from verse number 2 to verse number 7, we shall look at that, God willingly, next week. Paul is called by Jesus. Paul is called to be Christ's ambassador. Paul is called to be Christ's sent one, Christ's messenger, Christ's spokesman to the church. Therefore, the words that Paul will speak to the church carries authority. They are as though they are spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we read the words of scripture, as we go through the book of Romans, we forget that it is written by hand of man. We know it comes from the heart of God. That is why when we read these words, they edify us. To the apostle Paul, to be an apostle was not a matter of status, but servanthood. He didn't want to be known as somebody superior, but he wanted to be known as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles were given a unique blessing, church. They could speak directly and exactly the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the churches. These apostles were distinguished from a common Christians in the community. Yet they were not worshipped. Although they were treated differently, the sense of authority and power and everything else, but they were not worshipped. Nobody laid a red carpet for them to walk. Nobody carried their Bibles and whatever they had at the time before they could speak. They did not desire to be worshipped. They desired God to be worshipped. They pointed men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter number 10, verse 26 to 20, 25 to 26, rather. Acts 10, 25 to 26. When Peter entered Cornelius' home. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Cornelius is worshipping Peter. Look at Peter's reaction, 26. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man. Stand up, I am a man." Apostles never desired to be worshipped. So we are told and taught here, church, that we can only worship and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We must respect our leaders, but we worship God and God alone. Acts 14, verse 12 to 15. Barnabas, they called Zeus. These are the people after they've seen miracles, after they've heard the gospel, and some people, their heart is changed, and now they can see, they were blind. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermas, because he was the chief speaker and the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gate and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowd. They wanted to offer sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. But when the apostle Paul and Barnabas heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing this? Why are you trying to offer to us? Why are you trying to worship us? We are also men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things of worshiping people, but turn from the vain things to a living God who made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them." The teaching is very simple. We are called to worship God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Another blessing that was upon the apostles was that they had to found churches where the gospel was never heard. They formed these churches throughout the world, yet the apostle did not build churches where the churches only belonged to them and they became chief in those churches. Unlike today, people build churches that they would become chief and king. But in the context of the local church, in the context of the church, the apostle had the right to be in any of the churches, to teach in any of the churches that is formed by all the apostles. Why? Because the church was formed in the foundation of the apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the authority to teach and direct the church, regardless of the autonomy of any local church. And that is not so today. Apostles today, they are building their own empires. That is why no man church should be called an apostle today, unless it's just a joke, we are joking with one another. There is no apostle today. I'm saying so because I know one of my friends listens to my sermons and is an apostle. There is no apostle today. There is no one having a direct message from God today, giving to the church. If we have to have an apostle today, this is our apostle today, the scripture. This is where God's way is found. And this is how God speaks to us today, through his son, the scriptures. So church, there was unity and working for one goal for the apostles. So Paul, when he says an apostle called by Christ, he's saying to the church, I'm working towards the same goal as Peter, John, James, and the other apostles. So as I'm introducing myself to you, as I'm going to give you these hard teachings of scripture, you need to know that my aim is the very same aim of the other apostles, and it is the aim of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all yours. We are all yours in Christ Jesus. Whether it is Paul, whether it is Apollos, whether it is Peter, we are all yours, and we speak to you. Therefore, as Paul writes to this church of the Romans, he wants to assure them that he is the same level as Peter, and he carries the same authority as all the other apostles. But above all, what he's about to tell them comes direct from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's bringing them the only good news. The only good news that the world can ever hear. The good news that Jesus came from heaven. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus rose from the dead. And now Jesus saved the world for himself. The good news that comes to people that though you were born in sin, wretched, though you were destined to death, but in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be snatched from the garbage of sin and to God's marvelous light. Although you have sinned and your sin are as red as scarlet, but Jesus is able to wash your sins and wash you whiter than snow. He's bringing the good news that though you are born to die, now you can live life to the fullest in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at the word apostle, we are therefore reminded that no apostle preached a different doctrine. To those of you who listen to all the quacks that keep quacking out there and calling themselves apostles, you can hear that in most cases, if not all the time, everyone is talking for himself and they're preaching different doctrines. But no apostle in the Bible preached a different doctrine. So Paul is introducing himself here, saying, I am coming and I'm preaching to you, I'm coming through this way, preaching to you the same doctrine we have heard in the beginning. The same doctrine that Jesus preached, the same doctrine that Peter, John, James and other apostles preached, so that there is unity of faith. So that you believers may believe the very same thing. The apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very important for us to learn as we speak about the apostles. The apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ only desired to preach the gospel and evangelize the world. That was the only desire they had. All the miracles that they performed. Indeed, they performed miracles. But church, they never focused themselves in performing miracles. Whenever they went to a new city, to a new town, it was not their main focus to perform miracles. They didn't have billboards that we are coming, bring the lame, bring the sick, bring everybody who needs healing. They didn't have things like that. They didn't introduce themselves as healers. And they didn't go out there as we see today when we do these sort of revivals. We come to prophesy to people, to be soothsayers, to be like sangomas to them in the name of Jesus, telling you what your name is and what your problem is. The apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have time for those silly games. They had time to preach the gospel. They hated anything that will take away time from them to preach the gospel of God. They would rather devote themselves to preach the gospel and pray than performing miracles, than serving in any other way. Is it the same today? So their main focus was never about miracles. Paul is introducing himself here as an apostle, not promising them anything but the preaching of the word of God. Not promising anything, not promising to come and heal the sick, but to preach the gospel of Christ. Therefore, church, the churches were therefore filled with Christians who desired the gospel, that are the people who desire miracles. I'm repeating myself. The Christian church was filled with people who desired the gospel. They will wake up in the morning, walk the dusty streets, that they may get the gospel, than people who wake up in the morning wanting miracles. The churches were filled with Christians who desired to hear about God. People really didn't care and never asked for a miracle. There is nowhere in scripture where the people says, give us a miracle. Only the Pharisees desired those miracles from Jesus Christ. But the church of God, preach to us. Preach to us. We want the words of life. We want to be changed from within, not from without. I would rather be lame, but my heart, let my heart be a circumcised heart. Let my heart be filled with the love of Christ. Let my heart be changed completely by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you can heal me from the outside if you can. But can I be full of the Spirit brought to me through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, through believing the gospel of God? Fill us with the word. Acts chapter number 2, verse 48. Verse 42. Listen to the kind of a church, the kind of churches that the apostles built, the kind of a church that we long to be, that we are, that we want to continue to be. The Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers. The Christians devoted themselves to apostles' teachings. They spent time talking in fellowship about the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made platforms for the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ coming from the mouth of the apostles. They didn't make platforms for healings and make stages for people coming with wheelchairs. Although maybe that is important. But what is of primary importance, they devoted themselves to the teachings and the fellowship. That is the Christian church. That is what we are reminded when we hear, I am called to be an apostle, by the words from the Apostle Paul. Listen to Apostle Peter addressing the pastors. Addressing the pastors. I wish the pastors of today can hear or read this word of Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 1 and 2. Listen to Peter the apostle telling pastors what to do. So I exalt the pastors among you, the elders among you, as fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. This is what I want you to do. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God will have you, not for shameful gains, not for shameful gains, not for shameful gains, but eagerly. Shepherd the flock of God. Peter has a picture of a church as sheep. A church that needs to be fed. A sheep needs to be fed. There must be a constant feeding of food and water. And that water is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shepherd the flock of Christ. Feed the people with the word. Teach the gospel. Preach the scriptures to the people. He's telling the pastors, stop flying around behind the pulpit like a peacock. Preach the word. Listen to Paul addressing the pastor Timothy. That is what you must expect from us as your leaders. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and off season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Teaching. Preach. Teaching. That is what the apostle desired. That is what it is to be called to be an apostle. To desire that the word of Christ is known and heard. That is what Paul wants to do for this church. He wants them to know and hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the church that we should be. That is what is expected from us. The apostles were called to reveal the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the nations.
And praise the Lord, hallelujah and amen, those mysteries are being revealed to us. God is love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. The Son did not come into the world to judge the world, but so that whosoever believe in him may have life. But the world love sin, and they will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that call us? Preach the word. So we are here to hear preached words, not for anything else. That is why, church, we don't run around looking for apostles. We don't run around looking for miracles. Regardless of how much pain we may feel in our bodies, that we need some kind of a touch, we don't run around looking for those things. We run around looking for biblical churches. And I can tell you, you can run around the whole of Olivet, the whole of this area. You will run until you're tired before you find a biblical teaching church. But we need to run around. That is what we must look for. Not running around for miracles. Church, today, all these self-appointed apostles deserve no respect and no honor from you. Nothing. Paul was the least of the apostles, it says in the Bible. Paul was obedient and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ to be called an apostle. He only wanted to preach the words of God. Therefore, church, we will not listen to any other word that any other man says outside the words of Scripture. And that was Paul's aim. He wanted to write to them that they know the word of Christ. We must put it upon us to know the word of Christ, that may not be led into error by these false apostles today. That is our calling. That is our calling. We are no longer called to be apostles, but we are called to listen to what the apostles has written for us. Thirdly, Paul set apart for the gospel. Verse 1 again. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel. Church, to be set apart or to set something apart, it means to keep or to save that something for a particular purpose. You keep and you save that something for a particular purpose. Paul now is conveying a message here that is set apart to belong to Jesus and serve him. He has called or handpicked, as it were, to save the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach this glorious gospel of God. He says, I'm set apart for the gospel of God. That's what I'm set apart for. God, in other words, has saved and put me aside. He has kept me for this particular purpose. And what the purpose? To preach the gospel of Jesus. Not only then to preach the gospel of Jesus, it's more than that, to live the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be known as the person of the gospel. Paul is now entrusted with the gospel. And since he has been entrusted with the gospel, he claims that he does not belong to the world. He's not set apart for the world. He's set apart for the gospel. He has a mandate now. He has something that is carrying. He has something that is guiding and leading him. And it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul then is able to say, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm only going to live for the gospel. And if I die, I must die for the gospel. Because I'm set apart for the gospel. Paul is set apart for the gospel. So while Paul is in this world, he will live for the gospel and he will live by the gospel. His life will be guided by the gospel. He will be led by the gospel. He will be taught by the gospel, not the world and the philosophy of the world. Paul will choose what books he reads. I'm bringing it to us. Paul will choose what books he reads. Paul will choose how much time he spends of the things of the world. Paul will choose definitely
the programs that he watched, and Paul will devote much of his time for the gospel. He will not separate himself completely and take himself out of the world. He knows he's in the world, but he wants to be in the world for the gospel. Can it be said for you and I? Paul will not try to fit in any way with the system of this world. Paul will not try to have friendship with the enemies of God, that he may have an opportunity, or that he may have some kind of a way to preach the gospel, that the world may open a door for him, that he may preach. No, Paul is not going to shake hands with the world, that he may find an opportunity to preach the gospel. Paul knows that he's already been set apart for the gospel. Please notice, church, we are already set apart. There's no need for you to shake hands with the world so that you have an opportunity. Paul knows that God alone can open the door for him for the gospel. Paul, he will ask the church to pray for him. Pray for me that the door may be opened for the gospel. I'm not going to be friends with the enemies of God, that the gospel may be preached, that I may have a stage somehow. But you pray for me. Paul is taking the gospel very serious. I wonder if we do take the gospel very, very serious. Paul will die for the gospel. Paul will be hated for the gospel. There are many things that we are hated for, but I don't think I'm hated for the gospel. There are many things that I will die for, but I don't think I'm going to die for the gospel. I don't know. I have never thought that I will die for the gospel. Why? I have not devoted myself to so much work of the gospel in a way that provokes the world, that the world will kill me for it. That is a wake-up call for all Christians. You are willing to die for your children. You are willing to die for all the things that you love. But are you willing to die for the gospel? You are hated, maybe for the success that you have. Some people don't like you when you success. Maybe you are hated for many other reasons. Maybe for your character, because most of us got bad characters. That's why we must always say, praise the Lord. Look at your wife, or look at your husband. Praise God. Thank you, Father. You have kept this woman for me to tolerate my bad character for so many years. Same. It's true. You may not see yourself. You may be hated for many things, but are you hated for the gospel? Paul says, I'll be hated for the gospel because I'm set apart for the gospel. I'm set apart for this good news of the kingdom of God. I'm set apart. When was Paul set apart for the gospel? When are you set apart for the gospel? When are you? Paul was set apart for the gospel before he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. It was before that time. God has set you apart for the gospel before you were born. In your mother's womb, I saw you and I set you apart for the gospel. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 1. But listen to the Apostle Paul's personal testimony, saying, when did God set him apart? Showing you, brother and sister, when did God set you apart for the gospel? Showing you, brother and sister, that you actually owing God to do something about what he has set you apart beforehand. Galatians 1, verse 14 to 16. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who has set me apart before I was born, please notice, he has set me apart before I was born, and he has called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, in order that I must preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. He was set apart before he was born. You get that in Galatians chapter number 1, verse 14 to 16. God already made a commitment, church, to each and every one of us. And that commitment is to choose you, to be here, to choose you, to be a Christian, set you apart for the gospel, for you were born.
Therefore, the gospel should be something of primary importance to you, because that is exactly what God called you to have or to present to the world of sin. As true as what we hear the Apostle Paul saying, that he set apart for the gospel, that is true, but it is true with all of us as well. Each and every one of us, he is called and set apart for the gospel. Every believer is set apart for the gospel. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is set apart for the gospel, to be a holy church, to tell the world of sin of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come from heaven to save sinners for himself. To save sinners for himself, and snatch them from the garbage of sin unto his marvelous light, setting them into his everlasting kingdom when they believe in him. We are all being called and set apart. God has called us and set apart each and every one of us from our ways of life of the past, from the thoughts we had in the past, from the attitudes of the world. We are called and set apart. This means that every Christian who is called by God to his Son to receive this great salvation in their lives in a way of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is no longer molded and shaped by the world, but they are molded and shaped into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel of God. You're no longer allowing the world to shape and mold you. And the world is good in shaping and molding people. But you want now the gospel to shape and mold you into the image of God. And that we can see very clear, church. He says in verse number 5, Romans chapter number 1, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among the Gentiles. To be set apart, therefore, is to be commissioned to bring the good news to all nations. All nations should be obedient to the faith, which is the Christian faith. That is our calling, to go out and call all people to be obedient to the faith. That is the proof to be set apart, to speak the gospel of God with the purpose of being life to the lifeless. Those who are lifeless are those who does not have the life of Christ in them. Paul says he's set apart for the gospel. The gospel is his chief work. He will die and live for the gospel. In other words, the gospel does not end behind the pulpit. The gospel carries on in our daily lives. Church, before we were set apart by sin to be sinners. Praise the Lord that now we are set apart for God, for the gospel. The Bible says, remember that you had once separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope into the world, without God. We were without God before. Today we are set apart for the gospel of God, because we have God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah and amen. I'm going to conclude. There's so much that I prepared, but I'm going to conclude like this. I see I've taken more time because I'm speaking very slow today. Somebody phoned me and says, when I preach too quick. So I'm trying to be slow. Church, let's conclude like this. Every Christian is called to serve and be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, are you serving? Can you faithfully say, I'm a servant of Jesus in the local church? That's not something to make you feel bad. It's something to come to you as a wake-up call. Can you say, I serve Christ in this local church? Every Christian is called to be faithful student of the word, to love the word of God, to believe what the word of God says. Therefore, if we love and believe the word of God, it is our duty to see and believe what the Bible says today. It says, Paul was the least of the apostles. There is no other apostle after Paul. But does that mean now we don't have the word of Christ? Because the apostle brought the word of Christ, we do have the word of Christ, because it is written for us. We don't need a dream. We don't need anything else. We don't need a vision. You need the word of God. Peter says, though we have not seen him, we have not seen Jesus, but we love him. We don't have to see Jesus to love him.
Paul saw Jesus. We have the Spirit of God that so gently convinced us, so gently loved us, that though we have not seen Jesus, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. So every Christian is set apart for the gospel. The question is preaching and living for the gospel your main focus and primary function in this world? Since we are all set apart for the gospel. Is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ a solution to all of your problems? Is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ your bread and butter? Something that you think about each and every day. Is it your food? You chew on it. You think about it. Church, we must continue to allow the gospel of Jesus to shape and mold us in this world of sin. Because we are set apart for the gospel. Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a man set apart. Something practical and something spiritual. Can that be said about you? What is your testimony? Are you a servant? Do you have a ministry? Are you set apart for the gospel? Do you live for the gospel? Praise the Lord and amen.